We'd overhear women in the workshops saying things like, Betty and Carlin are just like their YouTube clips. And they'd share how we had the relationship that everyone wanted because it was so honest and open and fun and free. But there was one moment where I almost walked from the partnership, and I thought I'd share that story. My long-term live-in relationship was ending, and it had been ending for the better part of 2 years. And I did what any young woman with a broken heart does when she feels rejected by her long-term partner. I had a dalliance, an affair, and I was pregnant. And I didn't want Betty to know. I was trying to terminate the pregnancy without Betty knowing when I was going into her apartment, our office, every day. I was having an abortion by the pill, and so it was critical that I got there before 6 to 9 weeks. So time was of the essence. And the day I made my appointment, Betty had scheduled with Swedish TV to do an interview. So I had to be there. I was the one to welcome the crew, to do Betty's makeup. I would sit on the floor behind the camera and jog her memory and get all the good stories. So I had to be there. And I was cutting it close. So the interview is almost wrapping, and I'm watching the clock. I'm just like, I have to get out of here. I don't want to be late. I got to get downtown. And I forget what excuse I gave her. I gave her a business excuse. Like, I was meeting with someone to go over, blah, 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 the barbell, to get out. And I could tell by the look on her face that she knew I was lying. But I was hell-bent on making it to my appointment on time. I leave. And when I come back the next morning, Betty's kind of standing there with her arms folded. Eric's next to her with his arms folded. And they confront me. And they say, well, we called the person you said you were meeting with. And guess what? You didn't meet with them. So what is going on and why are you lying? And in the beginning, I was defensive. And I was like, how dare you, you know, look up on me? What are you, my parent? And then they kept on pushing. And I'm pushing back, but I'm raw. I'm open. I'm hormonal. I'm sad. I break down. And I say, well, if you must know, I was downtown at Planned Parenthood on Bleecker Street getting an abortion. Not that you care. Very dramatic. And Betty just said, well, why didn't you say so? And I started to cry. Because in my childhood and my family up until this point, if I made certain decisions, I was judged and rejected or abandoned. So my first abortion was when I was 18 years old. And I just, at that point, because I was raised where women had no voice and you went along with the man and you couldn't ask, like put on a condom, you didn't know anything about sex and sex just happens. And when it just happened and I was pregnant, when I went to get my abortion, one of my mother's friends was picketing the abortion clinic. So going in, I knew she saw me, I knew who she was, and I knew coming out, my mom would know. She knew probably while it was happening. I was kind of waiting for her to bust down the door. So after that moment in my life, because I was sexually active now at this point, it was like the family was cut off. So I was technically still living there for another 6 months, but they color-coded all of my utensils and my glassware and my underwear, my towels, because I could give them an STI. And no one would talk to me. And I wasn't invited to things. And I was shunned. So I left. So I guess, you know, that trauma, that response, I was expecting that from Betty. That's just how it happens. You're the woman. You have the scarlet letter. You pay the price. And they turn their back on you. So I'm still raw. I'm still crying. And this is what's going on in my mind. It's like, I'm going to leave before she asks me to leave. So I said, you know, now that you know, I gotta go. I can't do this anymore. And I go to march out, and Betty comes over and gives me the biggest bear hug. And she says, I'm not going to let you go. We're not over. I need you. You need me. I love you. You love me. I'm not letting you go. And I think I melted into the carpet. I mean, it was everything I always wanted to hear from my primary parent when I was going through my abortion at 18, that no matter what I did, right, that I'd always have a place, and I'd always be loved and accepted and have a home. So she grabbed me by the hand and walked me into the back room and sat me down and said, okay, I'm going to get a glass of wine and we're going to talk through this. And what happened is we had this beautiful conversation about our abortions. And I said, you know, Betty, I feel ashamed because you're Betty Dotson and I should have it together and I should know everything about sex. And this is my third abortion. And then Betty smiled and said, oh my God, I can finally say it. Like, I had three abortions too. I always said two because I was ashamed. The first one, it's like, you make a mistake. Second one, by the third one, you better know what you're doing. Like, get it together. She's like, isn't that interesting? We both felt the same way. And then Betty started sharing her stories and how her first abortion, it was illegal. So you had to call from all these payphones in Manhattan, and she was going to New Jersey, and she walks into this townhouse, and when she gets up the stairs, it's a female doctor and she's drinking a beer. And she says, you know, don't worry, I'm just doing it to steady my hand. So she must have been an alcoholic. And Betty said, you know, I lay down literally on the kitchen table thinking I would die. No anesthesia as they're dilating her cervix and scraping out her uterus. And then she had to go home to her apartment at the Y with her two female roommates. And one of their moms was in town and she had a talk and she lied and said she had a cold so she could stay in bed. And that night when she went to sleep, she thought, well, I might hemorrhage to death. And she woke up. She goes, Carlin, as soon as I woke up, I was like, okay, that's it. I'm never going to do this again. And then she was pregnant. She was in Amsterdam. And it was legal in Amsterdam to get an abortion. It was easy. But the caveat was you had to be suicidal. So you had to have an interview and you had to lie and say that you were depressed and thinking about taking your own life. And then they'd give you the abortion. And then her last abortion, it was legal. And it was surgical and it was legal, but it was safe. And she didn't have to fear for her life. And I said, oh, Betty, you know, all my abortions were surgical and legal and safe. I never thought about that. Like, that was never anything I had to handle. And I could just go to Planned Parenthood. And I think she said her first abortion was $500. Mine was $400. So this is 1962 versus like 1992. And then I said my second one, surgical. And I said, this one I'm having right now. It's an abortion by the pill. And she said, what? What do you mean? I said, you go to Planned Parenthood, you take a pill orally, and then you take these inserts and put them in your vagina, and then the uterus empties itself. I'm like, if you didn't notice, I'm wearing a Depends because I had to jump here on the subway. I knew I had to come in. And it was kind of nice to get out of my apartment and be someplace safe and neutral. And she's like, are you kidding me? And so I went into the bathroom. I'm like, yeah. And then this little like rind, lemon rind came out, and that's what you wait for. And I was like, you can look if you watch. Because I can't believe this. You're having an abortion right now. And I said, yes. And then she pulled down the Murphy bed in the living room. Was like, it made me a little bed with pillows. And we ordered ramen. And she said, okay, stay here. Just relax. I'm going to do some work on the computer. And then every like 5 or 10 minutes, she would wander in. And she'd say, you're having an abortion right now. And I'd say, yes. She's like, Carlin. And this was the moment she said to me, she was, I always thought feminism failed because we didn't go all the way. We didn't get income equality and we didn't, you know, get so many things that we wanted. She was like, but now looking at you this moment, like we did something. We accomplished something. And the look of just satisfaction on her face. I think it's hard to commit your life to something, to a cause, and think that you failed at 80. So now she knew, like, you know, we helped women. We made it better for the next generations behind us. And this experience really shifted our partnership. It deepened and it grew, and it was just, the trust was complete. I knew no matter what I did or said, Betty would always be there. And she'd probably crack a joke and we'd break out laughing because it was serious, but it was always fun. A few months went by and we had a dinner party. And it was a lot of the greats, the big names, all women. And Betty made a crack and I made a crack. And we were having this like entre nous abortion joke going on. And I made the joke. And then they all turned, what are you guys talking about? So it was wonderful. We had this group of six women. And we were all just talking about our abortions, matter of fact, like, oh, I was 18 and it was 19, whatever, and it was safe and legal, or, you know, I also had a kitchen tabletop. It wasn't sharing the details of the relationships or the partners or why we had to make that decision, right? It was just, oh, I made that decision and here's how it went for me. And one of the women, I thought, was a gold star lesbian. I thought, I had mine when I was 19. And we all, like, our heads whipped around and we were like, Becky, I never thought that you were, you know, with a man. And she said, well, dick's a dirty habit. And I kicked it. But I did have a dalliance with a man and we roared. It was so much fun and we drank wine. And at the end, one of the women shared, because, you know, I always wanted to have this type of conversation about my abortion. Thank you for normalizing it. And like, it's not a big deal. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, I had to have knee surgery, or, oh, yeah, I got some fillers. And that was very healing. It was wonderful to be with women in that space, talking about something that is, especially now post the repeal of Roe v. Wade, so controversial and triggering for everyone, and have it just be it. Okay, not a big deal, because it isn't. My third abortion strengthened our partnership and established the trust for us to move forward for another 8 years. And I am just so grateful that on that day, Betty didn't let me go. And I knew I would see her off the planet.